Old Covenant Ruin of Ordain. There are several Greek words in the New Testament translated ordain, none of which has the dreadful connotations introduced by the Fathers, and which have been in vogue ever since. Frank Viola and George Barner drew attention to the way in which the Authorized Version perpetuated the fault. Translators of the AV have used ordain for 21 different Hebrew and Greek words. 17th century ecclesiastical misunderstanding influenced this poor word choice. Grievously, by using ordain, the Authorized Version, because of the commanding position it has maintained for centuries, and because many have regarded it as the original word of God, it was good enough for Paul, has given unwarranted support for, and some sort of credence to, the wrong-headed but commonly held notion of ordination, to confer holy orders on, appoint to the Christian ministry. This is a great error. I cannot say it too strongly. It is an error of enormous dimensions. When Paul told Titus to ordain, that is the Authorized Version, elders in Titus 1, verse 5, he used a Greek word which means to set down, to set one in charge of something, to appoint one to administer an office, to constitute, to declare. This is a long way from ordain as generally understood. Seven men were given the responsibility, or appointed to take care of the arrangements for the widows. Pharaoh made Joseph governor over Egypt. The Hebrews would not let Moses be made a ruler over them. By Adam's sin, many were made, that is, constituted sinners. Man was made a little lower than the angels. A steward is put in charge or made ruler over a household. Is any of this ministerial ordination? And yet ordain is the original word. Similarly, according to the Authorized Version, Christ ordained 12. But the truth is, he appointed 12. The Greek means to make, to appoint. Once again, an act far removed from today's notion of ordination. All the saints are made kings and priests to God. If anything, this tells us that only God can make a man such. Certainly no ceremony carried out by men can do it. How devoted is fallen man to the distortion of God's word, even to the extent of twisting it on its head? Humpty Dumpty never once for followers and champions. How many times the church has warped biblical words out of all recognition. Let me go on. According to the Authorized Version, Christ chose and ordained his apostles, and Paul was ordained a preacher. But the Greek word means to make, to set in place, to appoint. It has nothing to do with ordination in the sense adopted by the Fathers and usually accepted by the vast majority of Christians. Christ's enemies will be made his footstool. Abraham was made a father of many nations. Further, Paul and Barnabas ordained, that is Authorized Version, elders in every church. But the Greek word means to vote by stretching out the hand, to appoint by voting, to elect, appoint, create. Nothing to do with ordination in the clerical sense. Moreover, in this verse even the idea of hand movement is lost. The verb means simply to vote, elect, appoint. The New King James Version, the NIV, and the New American Standard all got it right. Appoint. A brother was chosen, appointed, by the churches to travel with Paul. That is, chosen probably by vote, by a common suffrage of the people. An associated word means to choose or designate beforehand, as the witnesses of Christ's resurrection have been chosen before by God. And when all is said and done, it is elders, not pastors or ministers only, who were ordained. All this is of the utmost importance. I am not straining out a gnat. Many believers think of ordination as something which is done to make or turn a man into a professional minister or pastor. What is more, many think it is something which can be done to the man in question, only by those who themselves have had it done to them, in that they themselves have been ordained as professional ministers. This is wrong. It is appalling. It comes from the fathers, who, lifting the principles of the priesthood from the Old Covenant and cobbling them together with the invented rigmarole of apostolic succession, forced the New Covenant into their fantasy world, and thus foisted the diabolical nonsense, the dangerous nonsense, onto the churches of Christ. And it is without a vestige of New Testament support. It ought to be abominated by all believers. Yes, the Old Covenant priests were appointed, and they were also consecrated with the full panoply of sacrifice, ritual, and external glory. Such was life under the Old Covenant, yes, indeed, but not under the New. While elders are appointed, there is no notion of ordination into a distinct priestly class in the New Covenant. True, Jesus was made both Lord and Christ, appointed heir of all things. But is this the way we are to think about men who are made ministers? We dare not take consecrating principles which apply to Christ alone, or the priestly principles of the Old Covenant, and apply them to a special class of men in the New Covenant. We have no warrant for such a prostitution of Scripture. Cyprian greatly erred when he started the ball rolling almost 1900 years ago. New Testament ordination is nothing more and nothing less than a recognition of men gifted by Christ for work in His church. No power is conveyed, none whatsoever. No change of class or status occurs, none whatsoever. It certainly does not move a man from the laity and put him into the clergy, since, as I have proved, there is no such division in the churches of Christ in the New Testament, there can be no such move. We must not interpret Scripture by Christendom. Rather, we should judge Christendom by Scripture. Nowhere does this dictum apply more decisively than in this matter of ordination and laying on of hands. The fundamental scriptural point of ordination is appointment. Christendom's notions on this subject, as on so many subjects, are completely foreign to the New Covenant. In short, we should drop the patristic notion of ordination. Drop it altogether. It should not be so much as named among us. We ought to stop holding special services for ordination, services taken by special men who we think have the power to ordain another. It is utterly wrong to think that, after a man has been ordained, and thus has become a minister or a pastor, he himself is now able to ordain others to the professional ministry. Yet, as I read it, the overwhelming majority of believers simply cannot get it out of their heads that their pastor is an ordained man, that this makes him special and qualifies him to officiate at other ordinations. This is no harmless practice. The shocking farrago from beginning to end is patristic and unbiblical. I am not hunting gnats. Gnats? Are we not supposed to be governed and directed by Scripture alone? If this is to be anything more than a mere slogan, mere cant for us, if we mean it, in other words, then let us drop all foolish notions of ordination, have no more to do with it, and start thinking about ordination as it is in the New Testament, simply as recognition of a man as appointed and equipped by Christ. I say simply. But what are we talking about? Christ saving, Christ raising up, Christ equipping sinners so that by His Spirit He might graciously use them to edify His saints. Simply, indeed. How much devilish lumber we have gained, by patristic ordination, and what dignity and privilege we have lost by undervaluing Christ and the way He gives gifts to the church. So let us divest ourselves of the slightest thought that any power is conveyed to a man by the use of patristic ordination. Let us never for one moment imagine that somehow or another the ordination of a layman has turned him into a clergyman. has turned him from being a lay preacher into a pastor. When talking of ordination, too many believers think that ordination has conveyed power to the man and has turned him into someone or something different to the rest of us. Charles Haddon Spurgeon. There are many, alas, too many, who make a dissenting minister as much their priest as the Catholic makes his priest his helper. Oh, take care, beware, of priestcraft. Take care, that is, beware of mancraft, of ministercraft, of clergycraft. All God's people are clergy. We are all God's kleros, all his clergy. If we have been anointed with the Holy Spirit and are saved, there never ought to have been a distinction between clergy and laity. We are all clergy who love the Lord Jesus Christ. No priestly hand, no hand of presbyters, which means priest written large, no ordination is necessary. I cannot put it any better, so I won't try.